Well, listen, get your Bibles out. We're going to go first off to the book of Romans, the third chapter, verse 24. We're going to talk about the atoning power of the blood tonight. We're going to talk about the power of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. And at sunset tonight, one of the Jewish holidays begins, and it's the Day of Atonement. And so at sunset tonight, that begins, goes all the way to tomorrow evening. And what the atonement was, the day when the high priest made and offered a sacrifice for the sins of the people. How many know there was a sacrifice that was offered for the sins of mankind? And that was Jesus, amen? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. How many know God is a just God, amen? I don't know, man, I'm just so thankful for the Lord, amen, that He is merciful and kind and loving. And He's a just God. He's also a God who is our justifier. Amen. And so it's important that we learn to live each day knowing that God has unconditional love for us. Amen. He loves us. Amen. Your Bible says that His love is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, it doesn't cease. And so Scripture teaches us that we become accepted by God, amen, that He accepts us, He receives us as part of His family, amen. And so, but we have to realize that we have to receive the unconditional love of God, amen. And so God redeems us because He loves us, amen. He redeemed us because He loved us, amen. And so now to redeem just means that He bought us back, amen. In other words, there was an exchange that had to take place. That's what redemption means, amen? And in other words, something had to be liberated, and it cost something, amen? In other words, to be able to free something, it took something to be able to get that freedom to take place. And what took place and what it cost for our freedom is the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross, amen? And so there is redeeming power in the blood of Christ. And I pray tonight that we will understand and recognize it a little bit deeper and a little bit more intense than ever before. And so Jesus bought us back, paid for us. Amen. How many know we were lost? Amen. Satan had a hold of us. Satan had right to us. But Jesus redeemed us. Amen. In other words, He paid a price to be able to get us back. Amen. I don't know about y'all. That's good news. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit in regards to that tonight. So understand, number one, that the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus, okay, is the source in which the flow of God's mercy follows. And if there's ever a generation that needs the mercy of God, it's us, our generation. I mean, everyone needs His mercy, but our generation, even more so, it seems like, man, we need a flow of the mercy of God. Amen. And that's why I believe we as believers, we need to understand and recognize the power of the blood, okay? The atoning work that the blood did for us, that you and I, we were redeemed, we were bought, there was an exchange that took place. We were released from captivity. Amen. And when Christ came and set us free. Amen. So through the blood of Christ, God's love, God's kindness, in other words, his grace, his flavor, his favor is able to flow to us. Amen? In other words, without the blood, then none of that could reach us. Do you understand? In other words, we would not be able to experience the love of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God, the favor of God. In other words, it wouldn't have an avenue for it to flow to us, okay? And it's the blood of Christ that is the source in which mercy flows, amen? Because it has nothing to do with us. How many know it has? God's love, me experiencing, has nothing to do with me, has everything to do with Christ and the blood that He shed, that now God's mercy, His favor, His love, His kindness can now flow to me. Amen. Romans, the third chapter, verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. So I want you to understand tonight that it requires that we have faith in the blood. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, because sometimes we don't exercise faith in the blood. Amen? But we have to exercise faith in the blood. And listen, it says, faith in the blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Amen? And so understand that the blood of Christ, man, it's the source so that mercy can flow. Amen? The blood of Christ is what has pronounced you and I righteous. It's not by our righteousness that we please God, but it's because of the righteousness of Christ. Amen? Romans 5:9 says, much more than we've been now justified, that word justified in the original Greek, it's describing we have been made, or now we are regarded as innocent. Now, how many know none of us in this room are innocent? Okay? But because of Christ and because of the blood, we've been justified. We have been declared innocent by God. Amen. Our He's declared, He's pronounced, our He's made us just and righteous, not because of something that we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And what Christ did was He was willing to shed His blood for you and I. Amen. So understand, the blood of Christ is what pronounces us righteous. It's what enables you and I to be declared innocent from the sin that we've committed in our life. The blood of Christ has released us from the bondage of sin. Do you know we don't have to be bound to sin any longer? Amen? We don't have to be a slave to sin. In other words, we don't have to be subject to its control, its power in our life anymore. You know what I mean? When you really study the scriptures, when it talks about sin, it talks about the body of sin, and it's actually almost describing beings that influence and control us. In other words, we don't have to be subject to those forces of darkness in our life any longer that influenced us and drove us and caused us to do things that were contrary to the will and the desire of our Heavenly Father. And so the blood of Jesus, it releases us from the bondage of sin. I'm talking about the power of the blood, church. We have to understand that the power that is in the blood of Jesus, it's the same today that it's always been. And it releases us from the bondage of sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. That word forgiveness in the Greek, it's actually a word that's describing that we now are free. We are free from sin. It no longer has the power to enslave us. It no longer has the power to hold us. Why? Because of the blood. Amen? So I have to have faith in that blood. I have to exercise my faith in the blood of Christ. Amen? In other words, it releases us from imprisonment. The blood of Jesus does. It releases us from being imprisoned to sin. How many of you were in prison today? I know I was. I was in prison to sin. Even though there was things that I didn't want to do, I still did them. Why? Because there was a force that was influencing me and controlling me and driving me. And the only thing that enabled me to be able to be free from sin was the blood of Christ. It broke that bondage off of my life. It set me free. And church, it has the same power today in our lives if we have faith in it. Faith in the blood. Amen? It gives us a new position, the blood of Christ. It gives us a new position. Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off, you who were sometimes far, how many know we were away from God at one point in our life? I mean, we were far off from God. And then it says, but now we've been made nigh. That word nigh, it's actually a word that's describing that we now can experience the embrace of God. We can experience the embrace of a Creator. We can experience His touch in our life. Not because we did what was right, but because, listen to what it says. It says, we are now made, who were once far off from God, we've now been made nigh. In other words, we are now able to experience His embrace in our life. How? Through the blood of Christ. That's the power it has. It empowers the Father God to embrace you. Amen? It's given us a new position. We're no longer far off from God, not experiencing His touch, not experiencing His embrace. But the blood has put us into a new position where we can be touched by God. Man, think about that. We can be touched by God. Amen? And the blood is our means, church, of victory. If we're going to have victory in this life over the curse, over Satan's rule, it's going to be by the blood of the Lamb. It says it in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 11. And they overcame Him. They overcame Him. In other words, they prevailed. That word overcame, it says that they prevailed. They got the victory. Come on, guys, we get the victory. How? Because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So understand there is power in the blood. And tonight, as the sun sets, the Feast of Atonement takes place, where there was a sacrifice, blood was shed, so that the sins could be forgiven. Listen, it's just not enough to know about or just even appreciate the blood of Christ. See, it's in the blood of Christ. When it's personally applied in our life, man, it gives us success over the devil. You understand? It gives us success over the devil. Amen? Hebrews 9, verse 13 says this. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats, which they used to do in the Old Testament, they'd offer that sacrifice for the sins of the people. They would take one and they would sacrifice it and pour out its blood. And they would take the other and they would put blood on it and they would send it off so that the sins would be taken out of the camp as a sign, as a symbol. It says, but if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified and purified the flesh, how much more? Come on, guys. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself up without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to be able to serve the living God? Guys, we can serve God now. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. I can serve God now, Chris, because of Jesus' blood that was shed upon the cross. I can overcome sin. I can overcome Satan's rule. I don't have to let the curse hold me down any longer. Why? Because of the blood. There's a flow now into my life because I believe in the blood of God's mercy and God's favor and God's kindness and God's love. That's all possible because of the blood. It's not because of Chuck being anything special. It's just because I believe in the blood that was shed upon the cross. And if you believe in the blood, you can experience everything that the blood has offered to us. Amen? Now, something you need to understand about the blood. How many know the devil's got his sights on you? Devil wants to take you down. He wants to trip you up. He wants to cause you to become discouraged and oppressed and depressed. And he wants to steal. He wants to kill and destroy. How many know that's what the devil he wants to do? Amen. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, the blood of Jesus has been established to become a covering for us. You understand? It's been established to become a covering for you and I. You know, you're studying the book of Genesis and you find, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of the garden. Remember, they were driven out of the garden because they were sinned, because God did not want them to partake of the tree of life. And so they had to be driven out of the garden by a cherubim with a flaming sword. And remember Adam and Eve when they sinned and all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked. And the Bible says in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, it says, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living things. And unto Adam also and to his wife, it says, did the Lord God make coats of skins and he clothed them. In other words, there was a sacrifice that had to be given to cover the sinfulness of man. And God himself made that sacrifice. And there was coats, the Bible In fact, the Hebrew, the word coat there, it means a garment to cover. It says coats of skin, and he clothed them. In other words, he wrapped them. In other words, he put it upon them so that they could do what? They could wear it. Church, we need to understand, we're supposed to wear the blood. Just like Adam and Eve, they experienced this covering that God made for them because of their sins. They were wrapped in it. A sacrifice that was offered and blood was shed. They were clothed through the blood. Children of Israel had a covering through the blood. That's what they're celebrating tonight. The atonement. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement." The word atonement, actually in the Hebrew, it's a word that describes and is defined to cover. That's what atonement means. It means to cover. To cover. In other words, to reconcile. In fact, it was a word that was used to cover over with pitch or tar. It says, "I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So we see that the children of Israel, they will offer up a sacrifice, and that blood was to be a covering for their souls. You read in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 13. I'm just trying to get you a picture here that we need to understand what the blood is for. It doesn't just make up good words in a song. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Hey, let's probably sing that. Come on. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Can't hear you. Come on. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. That's a good song. But that's not why the blood was shed, just to be able to make a good song. Amen? We need to understand that the blood was shed to cover us. Just like when God offered the sacrifice and made skins to cover Adam and Eve. And just like the children of Israel, they had to offer up blood, a sacrifice, to cover their sins. They had to make an atonement. You look at even Noah. You read in Genesis 6:13. This is a picture of the applying of the blood. It says, "And God said to Noah, the end of flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he says, "Make an ark of gopher wood. In room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it." That word pitch is the same Hebrew word, kafar, which is defined atonement. It's the same Hebrew word, kafar, when you read it in the book of Leviticus. He says, "And you shall kafar, pitch it within and without with kafar," with pitch. And so here, the Lord tells Noah, he says, "Listen, I'm going to save you, Noah, because there's a flood coming. I'm going to destroy the earth, the inhabitants of the earth." Why? Because of their violence and their wickedness. Because their hearts are not right with me. And so God tells Noah, he says, "Noah, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to build an ark." And what the ark represents, it represents the deliverance and the safety and the preservation of God. And it says that God told Noah, he says, "Listen, Noah, I want you to kafar," same word that's used for atonement. In other words, "I want you to cover the ark on the outside, and I want you to cover the ark on the inside." Real important. "I want you to cover the ark on the outside, and I want you to cover the ark on the inside. And he says the word pitch, in other words, a type of tar, to make it watertight. That's what it was for. It was to make the boat watertight. How many know when a boat's not watertight, not a good thing? Huh? How many know that? Amen? Okay? You can sink. And I believe a lot of Christians sink because they've not applied the thing that God's given to us to cover us on the outside and on the inside. And what he's given us, kafar, atonement, the blood of Christ. Like I said, it's just not words for a good song. It's of vast importance for you and I in our overcoming the powers of darkness. Amen. So just as Noah applied the kafar within and without, we're to apply the blood within and without. Okay? So understand, the redemptive work of Christ is an inward work. How many know it's an inward work? And it's also an outward work. The redemptive work of Christ. In other words, it's to work inside of us, but it's also to work on the outside of us. Amen? In other words, the blood of Jesus, when it's applied inside and out in our life, well, in other words, when by faith I believe that it makes a place where mercy can flow to me, where I can experience the kindness and the love and the favor and the goodness of God in my life, if I believe in the blood, it empowers me to be able to no longer be bound to sin anymore. I am no longer a slave to that. I'm free from the curse because of the blood of Jesus. It affects sickness. It affects poverty. It affects every outward result of the curse when I, by faith, apply it within and apply it without. It becomes my covering. Come on, church, listen to me. It becomes your covering. The blood of Jesus becomes your covering. It wasn't just shed on the cross just so that you and I could get to heaven. Thank God it gets us to heaven. Amen. Because it makes us innocent before God. It justifies us. It redeems us. It's the very thing that was necessary to pay the price, to buy us back from Satan's enslavement. But it also, we have to understand, when it's applied on the inside and the outside of our life by faith, that we believe the blood, it's going to affect me on the outside. In other words, sickness is off limits to me. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Poverty is off limits to me. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Do you understand? And it affects the inside of me. I no longer have a spirit of fear, but I have the power, love, and a sound mind. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Oppression has to go. Brokenness has to go. Despair has to go. Hopelessness has to go. Those are all inward results of the curse. Wherever you see results of the curse in your life, you got to apply the blood. If it's on the outside of you, you got to apply the blood. If it's on the inside of you, you got to, by faith, apply the blood. You know what? I believe in the blood, Larry. That blood has power. That blood is what sets me free. It's that blood that's got me going to heaven tonight. Amen? It's that blood that heals my body. It's that blood that puts joy in my spirit. Come on. It's the blood of Jesus. I need to make sure that it's applied inside and outside in my life. Amen? So we have to apply it. Or we have to put it to use. When you apply something, you put it to use. Amen? And a lot of times we don't put to use the blood. In other words, when you apply something, you assign it for a specific purpose. When you apply something, you're assigning it for a specific purpose. So well, what's the blood for, Pastor? It's so that you can be victorious. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. But I'm going to have to apply it on the outside and the inside. Amen? I'm going to have to apply the blood for a specific purpose in my life. If the enemy's coming trying to depress me and draw me down and you know, press down on me, then I got to apply the blood for that specific purpose. That by the blood of Jesus, Father, thank you so much, that God, the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. And I just decree, God, let your joy spring up in Jesus' name. That's a result of the blood. I mean, it was because of Jesus' work. So we have to apply it. Amen? Exodus 12, verse 1. Is everybody okay? I'm just trying to get us to see the power of the blood. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Guys, you got the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, don't give the devil an inch. Man, I mean, don't give him an inch in Jesus' name. Draw a bloodline. Woo, glory. You can't cross that line in Jesus' name. The blood. I'm applying the blood to my family. I'm applying the blood to my life. I'm applying the blood to my stuff. Come on. I'm applying the blood to my mind. I'm not going to be messed up in my head anymore. Woo, glory to God. I mean, no, that's where the devil comes. Tells you this and tells you that and tells you this and tells you that. And then before you know it, you don't know what's that and what's this. Apply the blood. I have a sound mind. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Part of provision that he's made for me. Exodus 12, verse 1. Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year. This was the instituting of the Passover. Remember in Egypt when the death angel was coming into Egypt? The Lord told Moses and Aaron to tell the people of God something that they had to do. They had to offer a sacrifice. They had to offer a lamb. Verse 5, jump down to verse 5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood, they shall take the blood. Listen, how many know this is a type of Christ? This is a picture of Jesus. Amen? It says, and they shall take the blood, and they shall strike it. They shall strike it. That word strike there is a Hebrew word, nathan. And what it means they shall apply it. They shall bring it forth. Come on, sometimes you gotta bring it forth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, stuff going on in your life. You gotta bring it forth. In other words, you gotta take what God's given to you, and you gotta bring it out. And what he's given to us, he's given us the blood. Amen? It says, and you shall strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of your house, wherewithin you shall eat. And in verse 13, if you go down to Exodus 12, it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your house. The word token in Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word to describing, it shall become a distinguishing mark. Remember the story, sons of Sceva? They said, Paul, we know, the demons. They said, but Jesus, we know, they said. But they told those other guys, they said, we don't know you, because there's no distinguishing mark on you. Come on, guys, the blood is our covering. It becomes a distinguishing mark in our life. Come on, you got to believe this. You understand? You got to believe in the power of the blood. It's got to be applied without. It's got to be applied within. Amen. We need to strike it. We need to apply it. We need to bring it forth in our lives. And so that what? It can become a token upon our house. And it can be a sign, a distinguishing mark, a banner fact, that's what it means in the Hebrew. In fact, an insignia, in other words, a standard. In fact, it's word that it describes it, this particular Hebrew word, it's the Hebrew word uth, and it means a miracle. That when the devil sees you, if you applied the blood inside and out, you know what he sees? He sees a miracle. The devil sees a miracle. He sees someone he cannot touch. Come on, listen to me. By faith, we have to, by faith, apply the blood of Christ in our life. Guy, I have to believe what Jesus did upon the cross, that when he shed his blood, it was for you and I. Not just so that his blood would be shed so we can go to heaven, but his blood was shed so it could become a covering for us. It could be our ark to raise us up above all the stuff that goes on in the world. Becomes a distinguishing mark in our life. Amen? It says, the blood shall be upon you for a token upon your house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The church, there's power in the blood. Amen? And the blood's to be applied by faith. That's what I've been saying. It has to be applied by faith. You read in Hebrews, it talks about Moses. It says, by faith, Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 24. It says, and by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He did that by faith. He said, I'm not going to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Come on, by faith, we need to say, Satan, you're not going to have control over my life. Why? Because we have the blood of Christ. It becomes a distinguishing mark in our life. I'm going to apply that inside and out. He chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. In other words, Moses had his eyes on something. Something greater than what he saw in his world. Guys, we've got to have our eyes on something. We've got to have our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says through faith, verse 28, it says through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Lest it be destroyed, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So just as Moses applied the blood, we're to apply the blood to our life. Amen? We're to, by faith, apply the blood. Amen? We have to declare out of our mouths, church, that the blood of Jesus has redeemed us. Amen? I mean, you need to declare that. You need to get up in the morning and you need to declare, thank you, God, the blood of Jesus has redeemed me. And whether you realize it or not, you're applying the blood. You're applying it inside and out. You're declaring that you're justified, that you've been made innocent. Amen? Because of the blood of you, you're putting a distinguishing mark on your life. So when the devil tries to come and condemn you and try to mess with you, he's going to see something in your life that's going to cause him to be restricted in what he can do in your life. Amen? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life, it's in the power of your tongue. So I'm going to agree that the blood of Jesus, it's redeemed me. Amen? We have to declare that our outward actions please God. Because the blood has redeemed them. I've been redeemed from the way I used to be, John. I'm not like what I used to be. I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. My outward actions no longer are like what they were in times past. I've been changed. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and things have become new. How? Because of the blood of Jesus. And when that old man tries to come back up, you know what I say? I say, no, 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 no. The blood of Jesus is against you in Jesus' name. I apply that blood upon my life. Because it was that blood that redeemed me in the first place. That I believe that that blood that was shed for me and for you, man, it had power to change me. We have to declare that our inward thoughts, our feelings, man, they're redeemed by the blood. That we're being, our inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm not going to allow my mind get messed up. I'm not going to allow fear and worry and anxiety and all those things that the enemy tries to bring upon people in our generation to asphyxiate my mind. There's going to be a distinguishing mark on the outside and on the inside. And when I feel like I'm losing it, I've never felt like that. Things closing in on you. You got to apply the blood. You got to apply the blood. So Jesus, you redeemed me from this curse. Come on, we got to know what the Bible says. God, you've redeemed me from the curse. I don't have to bow to that thing in my life anymore in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus becomes that distinguishing mark that gives me the victory. I overcome you, devil, because of the blood of the Lamb in my life. See, God, you got to give voice. Because you know how you apply it? The blood to your life? By what you say out of your mouth. You know, I could say out of my mouth, you know, I'm just not having a good day. You know, things are just really bad. They're going from bad to worse and from worse to worse. You know how you know you can talk like that? People can talk like that? And you know what happens? Things begin to go from bad to worse and from worse to worse. Why? Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. So what I've learned to do when I feel things coming in my life, I begin declaring the greatness of my God and the work that was done through Christ and that His blood has redeemed me from the curse. I am not cursed, Paul. Come on, I am blessed. Come on, you are blessed in Jesus' name. We have been raised up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can now draw near to God. I can experience His embrace in my life. Not because I did what was right all the time, but because of the blood that was shed upon the cross. And if I will apply that blood to my outward man and my inward man, I'm telling you, you're going to experience God. So we have to declare that our feelings, our thoughts, man, they're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Amen? We have to declare that sickness, that poverty has been defeated. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. It says Psalms 103, verse 3, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals us of all of our diseases. Not some of our diseases, all of our diseases. John's mom, she loves God. She loves God. Come on, Miss Norma loves the Lord. You know what happened? Mercy flowed to her. Healing flowed to her. The curse had no power over her toe. She didn't lose her toe. Her toe was redeemed. Why? Because of the blood. The blood made that possible. The blood of Jesus. Amen? And so, guys, it's not enough just for us to know about the blood. Man, we got to apply it. We got to apply it on the inside and the outside of our lives. In other words, His blood has to become personal to you. You got to personally apply it to your victory. Amen? And listen, you can apply the blood every day in your life to draw a line between you and the devil. I'm drawing a line between me and the devil. I'm not going to give him a place. He's not going to cross that line. Amen? And it's the blood. It's the blood. Amen? That draws the line. Again, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him. Speaking of the devil, they overcame him. They overcame him. They subdued him. They got the victory over him. They overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb. And look, by the word of their testimony, they begin to declare that their God was great, that we serve a mighty God, that there is nothing impossible for Him, that He does great and mighty things, that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So I want to encourage you tonight to realize the power of the blood. And as we go into this evening tonight, the Day of Atonement, Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur, goes all the way to tomorrow night. We need to understand and recognize that the blood changes our life. We need to repent of anything in our life that would displease the Lord. Let the blood cleanse us. Time of purifying, time of cleaning, time of God washing us, applying the blood so that, man, we could find safety and deliverance in our life. Amen? Let's stand. We're going to pray.